الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد. So after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking his aid and tawfiq in what we're about to share today, tomorrow, and Wednesday inshallah, Yawm al-Arbi'ah. It's regarding Ibn Qayyim's explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha. This explanation is a reminder for myself and also a reminder for my dear brothers, my dear ikhwa and the akhawat, on how we need to reflect on this amazing surah, Surah Al-Fatiha. It's a compilation of explanations from Ibn Qayyim which has been gathered from his books such as Madarij al-Salikin and also Bada'i al-Fawa'id and also Risale ibn Qayyim li Ahadi Ikhwani and many other books, Ijtimaa' Jurush al-Islamiyya and so forth. It's a collaboration of the works of Ibn Qayyim as it relates to Surah Al-Fatiha. And as I said, it's a reminder for myself and a reminder for my dear brothers. The first thing we're going to deal with now are the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. Bearing in mind that some information that I'm going to give to you is taken from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala in his Ahkam al-Quran, and also from Shaykh Al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, some statements in Majmu' Fatawa and Jawab al-Sayyih, and also some benefits from Shaykh Saleh Fawzan Hafizullah ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, kathratul asma tadullu ala idham al musamma. Kathratul asma tadullu ala idham al musamma. He said rahimahullah ta'ala that something which has a lot of names leads to its importance or its loftiness or its greatness. So something that has a lot of names leads to its greatness. So for example, we have the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has many names, and this is because of the idham of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lofty station of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when something has a lot of names, it leads to its importance. Surah Al-Fatiha has many names because of its importance. And from those names are taken from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of the Salaf from the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, wa Atba' Tabi'in, have also added some names for this surah. The first name that is known, obviously, is Fatiha, Al-Fatiha, the opening. And the reason why it's called Fatiha, because it's the Fatiha to the Quran. It is the first surah in the Quran. And Tuftah as-salah biha. And it's the opening in salah. It's the opening surah that's recited in salah. So therefore it's called Al-Fatiha. It's called Al-Fatiha. The second name for Surah Al-Fatiha is Ummul Kitab and Ummul Quran. Ummul Kitab and Ummul Quran. And this is taken from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ummul Quran wa Ummul Kitab wa Sabil Muthani. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Tirmidhi, which Tirmidhi made Hassan, and Shaykh Albani put it in his Sahiha, where Abu Hurairah said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ayy Surah Al-Fatiha, is Ummul Quran. It's Ummul Quran and it's the Ummul Kitab. And Al-Baghawi rahimahullah ta'ala and other than him have explained what's meant by Ummu Shay Asluhu. Ummu Shay Asluhu. The of something is the foundations of something. It's the foundation. And Surah Al-Fatiha is called Ummul Quran and Ummul Kitab, these two names, because it comprises the general meaning of the Quran. Because it comprises the general meaning of the Quran. Which is why we have Mecca is called Ummul Qura, because of its loftiness in comparison to other cities. Mecca is called Ummul Qura because of its loftiness and its importance as it relates to other cities. Likewise, Surah Al-Fatiha is called Ummul Quran because of its importance and its loftiness as it relates to other surah, other chapters in the Quran. And we find also in the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Jibreel is called Ummu Sunnah. The hadith of Jibreel is called Ummu Sunnah. And Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari. Not Ibn Hajar, Ibn Rajab. He mentions this in Ibn Rajab, mentions this in Fath al-Bari, which is before Ibn Hajar's Fath al-Bari. Ibn Rajab's Fath al-Bari is the original explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, and Ibn Hajar's came after. Ibn Rajab mentions in there that Hadith of Jibreel is known as Ummu Sunnah. Why? Because of the things that are mentioned in that hadith, from Islam and from Iman and from Ihsan and from Qadr and the rest of it, is a general, concise hadith of the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the foundation of the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Kitab al-Masabih and also in Shahru Sunnah, Imam Baghawi, he started his book of hadith with the hadith of Jibreel because of this. He started his hadith in Masabih, his narrations that he's compiled in his book Al-Masabih, and also in Shahru Sunnah, he started with the hadith of Jibreel because he held it to be Al-Sunnah. He held it to be Al-Sunnah. Iqtida'an bil-Qur'an. Following in suit of what Allah of the Quran, a Fatiha being Ummul Kitab, so the hadith of Jibreel being Ummul Sunnah, Fatiha being the first surah in the Quran, so he made the first hadith in his compilation of Musabih and Shahru Sunnah as the hadith of Jibreel. The hadith of Jibreel. The next name for Surah Al-Fatiha is called Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The surah is known as Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It's known as that. That's one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. And this is taken from the hadith that we mentioned before, or the hadith of Abu Hurairah, where the Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ummul Quran wal Ummul Kitab. That the Surah Al-Fatiha, i.e. the name Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And also, another name for Surah Al-Fatiha is Sibyl Mathani. Sibyl Mathani, which means, has two different meanings from the ulama, the salaf. The first meaning is that it's the oft repeated verses, yani the verses that are repeated quite frequently, ayy surah al-fatiha. And also Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Sibyl Mathani means that these are the verses that Allah has kept safe for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has not been revealed in any book before. It's a verses that have been kept safe for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has not been revealed in any book before. That is the explanation of Mujahid of the meaning Sibyl Mathani. Now the proof of this name tasmiyah of Surah al-Fatiha with Sibyl Mathani is from the hadith of Abi Sa'id ibn Mu'alla radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, حيث قال كنت أصلي فدعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم أجبه حتى صليت. Where he said that he was praying, and he was praying in a masjid, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he called him and he didn't answer the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَأَتَيْتُهُ فَقَالَ. So Abu Sa'id went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, sorry, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَأْتِيَنِي. مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَأْتِيَنِي. What prevented you from coming to me? When the Prophet called him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sa'id, he said, رَضَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِنِّي كُنْتُ أُصَلِّي. O Messenger of Allah, verily I was praying. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, alam yaqul Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa li rasuli idha da'akum lima yuhikum. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, did Allah not say, O you who believe, answer Allah and answer the messenger when they call you to that which will give you life, when they call you to that which will give you life. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَوَعْلِمَنَّكَ أَعْظَمَ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ قَبْلَ أَن تَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. I will teach you the greatest surah in the Quran before you leave the masjid. And then Abu Sa'id, he said, رضي الله تعالى, فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he took his hand. فَلَمَّا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ قُلْتُ لَأُعَلِّمَنَّكَ أَعْظَمَ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ قَالَ نَعْمُ. So as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his hand, and when he, the companion, radiallahu ta'ala, was leaving the masjid, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, O Messenger of Allah, verily you said that you would teach me the greatest surah in the Quran. You teach me the greatest surah in the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naam, yes. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Hiya sab'u mathani wal Quran al-azim alladhi utitu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, ayy surah al-Fatiha, the greatest surah in the Quran. وَهِيَ سَبْعُ الْمَثَانِيَ, and it is the seven oft repeated verses. So here is the shahid that the name of Surah Al-Fatiha is سَبْعُ الْمَثَانِي, the oft repeated verses, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. Some benefits from this hadith. This hadith is narrated in Bukhari and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. This hadith is narrated in Bukhari and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. Some benefits from this hadith. The first is that one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha is Sibyl al-Mathani, the oft repeated verses. The second benefit is by following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he's alive, and by following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death brings life. Brings life. So when you're called to the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you accept that call. You take the proof, and that will bring you life, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verse. Another benefit that's taken from this hadith is that Surah Al-Fatiha, Fatiha is 7 verses. It has 7 verses. As Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says this is ijma'. This is the consensus that Surah Al-Fatiha has 7 verses. And also another benefit taken from this hadith is that another name of Surah Al-Fatiha is Al-Quran Al-Azim. And also, as we mentioned before, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is the name for Surah Al-Fatiha. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha is As-Salah. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha is As-Salah. And this is taken from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is hadith Qudsi, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala Allah ta'ala qasamtu salati bayni wa bayna abdi nisfain wa li abdi ma sa'al. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith of Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that I have divided a salah between me and my slaves in half, and for my slave is that which he asked. And then the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمَّدَنِي عَبْدِي. And if he says Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my slave has praised me and given me thana. So this is a proof that this is Surah Al-Fatiha. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this hadith Qudsi, qasamtu as-salah, I have divided as-salah, divided Surah Al-Fatiha. So that's a proof that the name, one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha is as-salah. And this hadith, we'll go on to it more in more detail tomorrow, inshallah. It's a very important hadith. I've just mentioned a portion of this hadith, and inshallah tomorrow we go into more detail regarding this hadith. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha is Al-Hamd. Alhamd. And that is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is relayed in Tirmidhi and hadith Hassan, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam qal, la salata liman lam yaqra bil hamd. La salata liman lam yaqra bil hamd. That there is no prayer, a valid prayer, for the one who does not recite alhamd. And alhamd is what, ikhwan? Al-Fatiha. So that's another name from the Sunnah that of Surah Al-Fatiha is Al-Hamd. And like we said, like Ibn Qayyim mentions, Kathratul Asma Tadul Ala Ala Idhami Al-Musamma. So these names lead to the fact of the great station of Surah Al-Fatiha and its importance. And in another hadith of Abi Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, which Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentions in Majmu' Fatawa, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet said, وَمَا أُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَةٌ, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what will make you know that it is ruqya, ay Surah Al-Fatiha. So another name for Surah Al-Fatiha, which some of the Salaf have taken from this narration, is that its name is Al-Ruqya, the cure, the healing, Al-Ruqya. Naam. Now Surah Al-Fatiha, hafidhakum Allah ta'ala, is it a surah makkiyah or surah madaniyah? Is it a surah makkiyah? Like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, hal nuzilat qabla al-hijra? Was it revealed before hijra? Because surah makkiyah are those chapters that were revealed before the hijra, not necessarily in Mecca, but revealed before Hijra. How do you summa Surah Al-Makkiyah? These are the surahs, Makki surahs, and these are the surahs that were revealed before Hijra. Or is Surah Al-Fatiha Surah Al-Madaniyah? Is Surah Al-Fatiha Surah Al-Madaniyah? It was revealed after the Hijra, and it could have been in Mecca. Yani the Hadal Fasil, the distinction between Makkiyah and Madaniyah is the time of Hijra. So is Surah Al-Fatiha Makkiyah or is Surah Al-Fatiha Madaniyah? Before we go on to that, let's look at the difference between Makkiyah and Madaniyah. So you can put a title, a heading, Al-Farq Bayna Al-Makkiyah Wal-Madaniyah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the difference between the surahs, Surah Makkiyah and the Surah Madaniyah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in Jawab al-Sahih, Surah Makkiyah كانت تتناول من لا يقرأ الكتاب لا يختص بأهل الكتاب بل كانت تعوم الأمم أو تختص بالمشركين. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in the third volume, page 69 in Jawab al-Sahih, that's the third volume in page 69, he said the Mekki surahs, the surahs Makkiyah, are those surah, are those chapters which are not specific for the people of the book, i.e. the Christians and the Jews, but it's general. Rather, or it's specific for the mushrikeen. So it's not specific for the people of the book, i.e. the Yuhud and the Nasara and so forth, but rather it's general, or it's specific for the mushrikeen. It's specific for the mushrikeen. وَسُورَ مَدَنِيَّ خِتَابُهَا تَارَةً لِأَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أو طارة تختص بالمؤمنين وطارة تعم. And then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions, and the Madani surahs, that sometimes the subjects or the person that's been addressed is sometimes from the people of the book, or sometimes from the believers, or sometimes it's general, or sometimes it's general. The second distinction between the Makkiyah surah and the Madani surah is that the Makkiyah laysa fiha al-hadith an al-munafiqin, and Shaykh al-Islam mentioned this in Majmu' Fatawa, page 193, volume 17. Shaykh al-Islam, he mentions, he said that the Makki surahs, the hypocrites are not mentioned, the hypocrites are not mentioned, and there is no speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the hypocrites, i.e. the munafiqin. The third distinction between Makki surah and the Madani surah is taqreer usul al-tawheed. That the Makki surah, the surah Makkiyah, that the surah Makkiyah is establishing and dealing more specifically with the fundamentals of tawheed, with the fundamentals of tawheed, and also creation, and also the hereafter, and also the hereafter. These are the Surah Makkiyah. And Shaykh al-Islam mentions this one in Manhaj al-Sunnah. He mentions this in Manhaj al-Sunnah, volume 7, 179, page 179. The fourth distinction is from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she said, إِنَّمَا نُزِّلَ أَوَّلُ مَا نُزِّلْ مِنْهُ سُرٌ مِنَ الْمُفَصَّلِ. Where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, that verily that which was revealed first from that which was revealed were the more detailed surahs, the bigger chapters. So from this, one of the distinctions between the Mekki surahs and the Madani surahs is that the Mekki surahs are Mufassal. The Mekki surahs are what? Mufassal. And the fifth difference between the Mekki and Madani surahs is that in the Madani surahs, fiqh, ahkam, rulings and regulations regards to ibadah and worship are mentioned more specifically in the Madani surahs. So the question is now, which is Surah Al-Fatiha? Is it Makkiyah or is it Madaniyah? The ulama differed with this. The ulama differed regards to Surah Al-Fatiha, whether it's Makki or Madaniyah. Some of the ulama, they said that it's Madaniyah, and some of the other ulama, they said some of it was Makkiyah and other parts of the Surah Al-Fatiha was Madaniyah. But the correct opinion, and is mentioned by Baghawi and other than them, that Surah Al-Fatiha is in fact Makkiyah. Surah Al-Fatiha is in fact Makkiyah. And as we go through Surah Al-Fatiha, and we listen to the kalam of Ibn Qayyim, you see also from the meaning and the benefits from Surah Al-Fatiha that is indeed Makkiyah. But there's a more clearer proof, and that is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hijr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي, and verily we have given you, a revealed to you, the seven oft recited verses, سَبْعُ مَثَانِي. And Sabah Mathani is what? Akhwan. It's what? Suratul Fatiha. And this sur, this verse is a Mecki verse. This verse is a Mecki verse. So this is a proof that Suratul Fatiha is indeed what? Mekkiya, because this verse is what? And Allah said that He's given it. Allah said that He's what? Revealed to it. So this is the proof that Baghawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he shows that Surah Al-Fatiha is indeed Makkiya. Surah Al-Hijr. Regarding the explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha now, we're going to bring it, put it into points, inshallah. Today, inshallah, we deal with two main points. Okay? Two Nuqat, Nuqtatain. Okay, we're going to deal with two points. Okay, the first of those is Lil-Fatiha Quwwatan. Lil-Fatiha Quwwatan. Surah Al-Fatiha has two strengths. Ask for your patience. I'm going to give you Ibn Qayyim's kalam and Ibn Qayyim's statements. It's very, very deep. But inshallah, I ask you to be patient. Ibn Qayyim says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that Surah Al-Fatiha has two strengths. Quwwat al-ilmiyyah wa quwwat al-amaliyyah. He said it has the knowledge-based strength, quwwat al-ilmiyyah, the knowledge-based strength, and quwwat al-amaliyyah, the application, the intent-based strength. And he said, سعادة العبد التامة موقوفة على استكمال قوة العلمية وقوة العملية. And Ibn Qayyim, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the success and happiness and bliss of the slave, the complete happiness and bliss of the ibad, is based upon his perfection and completion of the knowledge-based strength and the application-based strength, i.e. knowledge and acting upon it. Knowledge and acting upon it. And then he says, explaining the first one, quwwat al-ilmiyya, the knowledge-based strength. He says, innama yakun. He says that the knowledge-based strength is of five different branches or five different categories. The first is there is, he says, is ma'rifatu fatirihi wa bari. That knowing his creator, having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that knowledge strength based. Is that knowledge based strength. Having the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ma'rifatu asma'ihi wa sifati. This is all number one still. So having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and having knowledge of Allah's names and his attributes. This is the knowledge based strength, the quwwa, the strength that's in Surah Al-Fatiha. And then he said, secondly, وَمَعْرِفَةُ الطَّرِيقِ الَّتِي تُوصَلْ إِلَيْهِ. And knowing the path, and knowing and having knowledge of the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَعْرِفَةُ أَثَاتِهَا. And also having knowledge of that which deviates you and takes you away from that path. وَمَعْرِفَةُ نَفْسُهُ. And knowing himself. Knowing himself. وَمَعْرِفَةُ عُيُوبِهَا. Knowing his nafs. And also knowing the weakness and the deficiencies of himself and his nafs. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahu ta'ala, he said, فَبِمَعَارِفِ الْخَمْسِ يَحْصُلْ كَمَالِ الْقُوَّةِ الْعِلْمِيَّةِ. So if you have knowledge of these five things, what are they, ikhwan? The first one is what? Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his names and his attributes. Second, knowing how to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kayfa wusul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, knowing those things that can deviate you or turn you away from that path. And next, knowing his oneself, the nafs. Wa ma'rifatu ayyubiha. And knowing what? One's weaknesses and faults and deficiencies. A breeding humility. Ibn Qayyim says, by having knowledge of these five things, you will complete the quwwat al-ilmiyyah. you complete the knowledge based strength. وَأَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ أَعْرَفُهُمْ بِهَا. The most knowledgeable of people are the people who have more knowledge of this. وَأَفْقَاهُمْ بِهَا. And have more understanding of this. And then he said, the second one, which is what? قُوَّةِ الْإِشْ قُوَّةِ الْعَمَلِيَّةِ. He said, وَاسْتِكْمَالِ قُوَّةِ الْعَمَلِيَّةِ لَا يَحْصُلْ إِلَّا بِمُرَاعَةِ حُقُوقِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. And he said, the quwwat al-amaliyah, application-based strength, the one related to action, will never be complete and perfect except by paying attention to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slaves. Haqqullahi al-ibad, and ta'buduhu wala yushriku bihi shay'a. That the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his slaves is that they worship him alone and not associate partners with him. Subhanah. And Ibn Qayyim said, wal qiyamu biha, and establishing this ibadah, ikhlasan, with sincerity, wa'budu Allah ish, mukhlisan lahu, deen. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely for his religion. Wa ihsana, and with perfection. Where Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Jibreel, and ta'budu ka'annaka tara, fa ilam takun tara, fa innahu yaraak. And in the hadith of Jibreel, hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regards to ihsan, is that you worship Allah like you can see him, and if you can't see him, know that he sees you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim said that you will not perfect the application, the quwwat al-amaliyah, the application based strength, except by reactualizing and paying attention to the rights of Rahman, and paying attention to the rights of our Rahman, paying attention to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his ibad. وَشُهُودًا لِتَقْصِيرِهِ فِي أَدَاهِ حَقِّهِ. And recognizing your deficiency in fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not perfect the ibadah until you realize the deficiency in fulfilling and applying the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَأَنَّهُ لَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى إِسْتِكْمَالِ هَاتَيْنِ قُوَّتَيْنِ إِلَّا بِعَوْنَتِهِ. And that you know and you realize بِالْيَقِينِ, with certainty, that there is no way for you to get this قُوَّة عَمَلِيَّة except by seeking assistance and by the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُوَ مُطَّارٌ إِلَى أَنْ يَهْدِيهِ صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ الَّذِي هَدَى إِلَيْهِ أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَخَاصَّتِهِ. So then, you're compelled, and you're in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him to the straight path, the path of the awliya of Allah, the path of the awliya of Allah, and the path of the ibad, the worshippers who have reached that specific type of ibad, that specific type of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّهُ يُجْنِبُهُ الْخُرُوجَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الصِّرَاطِ. And he requests and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to push away and to repel the deviance from this path. إِمَّا بِفَسَادِ فِي الْقُوَّةِ الْإِلْمِيَّةِ فَيَقَى فِي الضَّلَالَةِ. Either by weakness or corruption in his قُوَّةِ الْإِلْمِيَّةِ, by his corruption in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the corruption in the knowledge of Allah's names and his attributes, which will lead him to fall into deviance. Like who? Like the Christians. Or إِمَّا فِي قُوَّةِ الْعَمَلِيَّةِ فَيُوجِبُ الْغَضَبِ. Or he's corrupted in his قُوَّةِ الْعَمَلِيَّةِ, sorry, فَيُوجِبُ الْغَضَبِ. He's corrupted in his the application and he acting upon that knowledge that he has. And this is a corruption. And this will lead to what? The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَمَالُ الْإِنسَانِ وَسَعَادَتُهُ لَا تَتِمْ إِلَّا بِمَجْمُوعِ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ. And he said, so the success and happiness of the ibad and the slave will not be perfected and complete except by combining these affairs. So then Ibn Qayyim goes with verse by verse, showing which one is quwwat al-ilmiyah and which one is quwwat al-amaliyah. As for the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Yatadammu al-Asl al-Awwal, Quwwat al-Ilmiyya. As for Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all the way up to Malik Yawm al-Din, Ibn Qayyim, he said that this is the Quwwat al-Ilmiyya. Wa huwa ma'rifatul Rabb, and this is knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three verses, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His names and His attributes. And the names, the asma al-mazkura fi hadhi surah, hiya usul al-asma al-husna. And then Ibn Qayyim said that the names that are mentioned in this surah are the foundations of Allah's perfect names. Of Allah's perfect names. So therefore, ismullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name Allah from alhamdulillah, the name Allah mutadamun li sifat al-uluhiyya, the name of Allah comprises of the deity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attribute of deity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ismu Rabb, and the name Ar-Rabb comprises of the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ismu Rahman, and the name Ar-Rahman comprises of ihsan and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa qawluhu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, يتضمن معرفة الطريق الوصول إلى الله. So إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين comprises of the way in order to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأنها ليست إلا عبادته وحده, and that there's only Allah who deserves to be worshipped. So the way to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through ibadah. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون, I've not created the jinn and mankind except for worship. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, from the statement of Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, it comprises that there's no way to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through ibadah. وَأَيْضًا, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and this shows the importance of seeking assistance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in establishing worship. وَقَوْلُ إِهْدَنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, نعم وقول إهدى الصراط المستقيم يتضم بيانا العبد لا سبيل له إلى السعادة إلا باستقامة, and this comprises that there is no way or path for the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to have success and happiness except by being steadfast on his straight path. وأنه لا سبيل له لاستقامة إلا بهداية, and there is no way, there is no way for him to attain steadfastness in this deen. There's no way for him to attain steadfastness upon the straight path except by the guide from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like there is no way for him to establish al-ibadah except by the aid and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلُ غَيْرُ مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ يَتَضَمَّنْ بَيَانْ تَرِيقَيْ الْإِنْحِرَافِ. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَغَيْرُ مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, that this comprises clarification of the two deviants away from this straight path, the two deviant ways away from this straight path. وَعَنَّ الْإِنْحِرَافِ إِلَّا لِأَحَدَ الطَّرَفَيْنِ, and that inhiraf and deviance is for one of the two types. The first is الضلالة, being astray. وهو فساد العلم والاعتقاد, being astray. And this is corruption in knowledge. قوة الإشخوان, قوة العلمية, this is corruption in قوة العلمية, and اعتقاد and belief, a knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والانحراف إلى 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 طرف الآخر, انحراف إلى الغضب, and the deviance away from this straight path is the deviance which leads to ghadab, anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is because of the fasad in what, ikhwan, quwwatu العملية قوة العملية في العمل كله في أول السورة. So he said, so from the beginning of the surah is rahmah. The middle of the surah is hidayah. And akhir part of the surah is ni'mah. And then the beginning of the rahmah is that which is the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realizing the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the middle of it is hidayah, being guided to the straight path and guided to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last part of the surah is a ni'mah, and this is blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be not from those who have been astray and those who have received the anger, but be from those who Allah has showered his blessings. Naam. Fi awwali surah rahmah, wa awsatuha hidayah, wa akhiruha ni'mah. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, the portion of the slave in regards to ni'mah, regards to blessing, is based upon his portion as it relates to guidance. How much guidance he has relates to how much ni'mah he has. وَحَظُّهُ مِنَ الْهِدَايَةِ عَلَى قَدْرِ حَظِّهِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And the portion he gets regards to guidance is based upon his portion of mercy. فَعَادَ الْعَمْرُ كُلُهُ إِلَى النِّعْمَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ. So he said all of the affairs goes back to what? The blessings, ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his mercy. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, فَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا رَحِيمًا مُنْعِمًا وَذَلِكَ مُوجِبْ لِأُولِهِيَتِهِ فَهُوَ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. And then he said that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is none other than merciful, bestower of mercy and bestower of blessings, and that necessitates his uluhiyah, and that necessitates his uluhiyah, i.e. him deserving to be worshipped alone, and that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true ilah. Point number two, and this is a good follow on from what we previously mentioned, from the quwwat al-ilmiyah and the quwwat al-amaliyah. I ask for your patience, inshallah. The second is the benefits that's taken from Surah Al-Fatiha, in that it has the Tawheed al-Thalatha. That in Surah Al-Fatiha, you have the three different categories of a Tawheed. What are the three different categories of a Tawheed, Ikhwan? Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, and Asma al-Sifat. The three categories of Tawheed is the Tawheed of Lordship, the Tawheed of Servitude, Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of Ibadah, and the Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes. And the ulama, such as Ibn Manda, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Ibn Battah in Libana, they bring proofs. They are from the earliest of the ulama who looked through the Quran and the Sunnah and found that Tawheed was of three types. And this was done in order to make it the understanding easier for the likes of ourselves. Now Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says that Surah Al-Fatiha has this. That Surah Al-Fatiha has this. But then he says Tawheed generally, to some of the ulama like him, Ibn Qayyim, they say Tawheed is of what? Qismain, two categories. What do you think those two categories are for Ibn Qayyim, based upon what we've done in point number one? Ilmiyah and Amaliyah. Ahsant. So the first one is what? Tawheed al-ilm wal-i'tiqad. Tawheed al-ilm wal-i'tiqad. Okay, the Tawheed that's based upon knowledge and belief, a knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his rububiyyah and his asma wa sifat. And the second one is no fil irada wal qasd al talabi. And the second one is related to the direction of worship and intent. The direction of what? Worship and intent. Meaning that all of worship and intent should be directed to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that Tawheed al-ilmi is called Tawheed al-ilmi because it's connected to knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Tawheed al-qasd is because it's connected to the ibadah and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Amma Tawheed al-ilm. So now he's going to go into how Surah Al-Fatiha establishes Tawheed. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala is going to go into how Surah Al-Fatiha establishes a Tawheed. And the first thing he says is, فَمِدَارُهُ عَلَى إِثْبَاتِ صِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ وعلى نفي تشبيه ومثال وتنزيه العيوب والنقائص وقد دل على هذا شيئان. He said that so that which comprises the tawhid al-ilmi, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is related to affirming His complete and perfect attributes subhana, and also negating any deficiencies or any naqs from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that the Surah Al-Fatiha explains this and proves this in two different ways. The first way he said is mujmala, which is a general way. And the second one he said is mufassal. As for mujmal, he said this is from the statement alhamd. When we say alhamdulillah, alhamd. And as for the mufassal, and that which is detailed in proving the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, he said this comes from Allah's sifa or attribute of deity, rububiyyah, when he said alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, and also his rahmah, ar-rahmani ar-rahim, and also his al-mulk, he says maliki yawmiddin. He said this is the more detailed explanation of the proof of Tawheed in Surah Al-Fatiha. As for the general explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha, Tawheed in Surah Al-Fatiha, this is taken from Al-Hamd. And he says, why? Because يَتَضَمَّنُ الْمَدْحُ لِمَحْمُود. He said that this comprises speaking well and praising the one that's been praised with perfect attributes and perfect names. وَقَدْ يَكُونْ حَامِدًا, okay, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِصِفَاتِهِ. And so that Allah مَحْمُودًا بِصِفَاتِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised for His complete attributes. فَكُلَّمَا كَانَتْ صِفَاتُ الْكَمَالِ الْمَحْمُودِ أَكْثَرْ كَانَ حَمْدُهُ أَكْمَلْ. So he said that every time the attributes of the one that's being praised is more perfect, his praise becomes more perfect. So the one that affirms the complete attributes and perfect attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by affirming the perfect attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more affirmation of this increases the more praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increases the more praise for Allah. كُلَّمَا نَقَصَ مِنْ صِفَاتِ كَمَالِهِ نَقَصَ مِنْ حَمْدِهِ. And whoever brings deficiencies into the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will also in turn bring deficiency into his praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a refutation against the Jahmiyyah. This is a refutation against the Jahmiyyah, those that negate the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and negate the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Ibn Qayyim, he mentions here, he said, the one that affirms it, he has affirmed the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who negates it, has he affirmed alhamd? No, because the one who is praised because of his perfect what? Attributes. And by negating the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have not established the hamd of Allah. And this is why in Surah Al-Fatiha is a refutation against the Jahmiyyah. And so in Surah Al-Fatiha here shows a refutation also against the Ash'ariyah or the Ash'a'irah. Here, why? Because they negate some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have that naqs and they have that deficiency in their hamd because of their deficiency in affirming the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the Mu'tazila, who affirm the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and negate his what? Attributes. They also, their hamd that they have is negated, is deficient. Which is why the ulama, they make takfir of the Jahmiyyah. Al-Mu'attala ta'budu man? Adama. As the ulama have mentioned, that the Mu'attala, i.e. the Jahmiyyah, those who negate Allah's attributes, they worship nothing. They worship nothing. There's no hamd. There's no hamd. So then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, لِأَجْلِ هَذَا لَا يُحْسِي أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِهِ ثَنَا عَلَيْهِ. He said that because of this, no one can actually praise Allah, the just praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. Why? Because his sifat and his attributes are perfect, and according to how perfect the attributes are, it goes in line with what? The hamd. It goes in line with Hamd. So therefore, because his attributes are so perfect, it's impossible for anyone to actually praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the praise that he subhanahu wa ta'ala deserved. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith of Abu Huraira, "La uhsi thana'a alayk." I cannot fulfill the complete praise for you subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who deserves the more praise, is the one who has the complete attributes, and Allah's attributes are perfect upon perfection. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticized the gods of the mushrikeen. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticized the gods of the mushrikeen. Yani, why are you worshipping them? Because of their deficiency in attributes. Because of the deficiency in attributes. Like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah says that Ibrahim said to his qawm, Ya abati lima ta'bud ma la yasma wa la yabsar wa la yughni anka shay'a. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and he said that Ibrahim said to his people, Oh abati, he said to his father, why do you worship that which does not hear, that which does not see, that which that cannot aid you in any way, that which cannot see, meaning the one that does not have the attribute of seeing, that cannot hear, that which does not have the attribute of hearing. So Allah used this as a proof against the people of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that why are you worshipping these things that don't have these perfect attributes, showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who deserves to be worshipped alone, is the one that has the perfect attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he then goes on and mentions the names that are mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha that lead to the uluhiyah and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the name Allah. And that is the name Allah. He said that before we embark upon going into these names that are mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha that indicate tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that we must understand two fundamentals. We must understand two fundamentals. And the first is that Anna Asma'a Rabb Tabarak wa Ta'ala Dallatun ala Sifat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names all lead and indicate the attributes. فهي مشتقة من الصفات. They are extrapolated from the attributes. فهي أسماء وهي أوصاف. وبذلك كانت الحسنى. And this here Ibn Qayyim is saying basically that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has meanings. They have what? Meanings. And it's taken from the sifat, and it's taken from the attributes. And that's why it's husna, and that's why it's perfect. He said that's the first principle that we must understand. The second principle that we must understand, and al-ism min asma'i tabaraka wa ta'ala kama yadulu ala dhat wa sifat التي اشتق منها بمطابقة فإنه يدل على تلازم وتضمن. And he mentions Ibn Qayyim rahimahu ta'ala, which I'm going to simplify, that for example, we have the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Sami', which means what, ikhwan? Huh? The all-hearing. As-Sami'. He says that we must understand that this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Sami', يدل على ذات الرب. That it indicates, and it's a proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It indicates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. وَيَدُولُ عَلَى سِفَةُ السَّمْعِ. And that it comprises the attribute of what? Hearing. So first of all, it's linked to Allah's essence. It's linked to Allah's essence. And secondly, it comprises of what? The attribute of hearing. Meaning it has a meaning. Meaning it has a meaning. And thirdly, يَدُولَ بِالتَّلَازُمْ الْحَيْ وَالْحَيَا بِالتَّلَازُمْ. He says that it indicates, or it's a prerequisite for life, meaning that the one who hears has to be alive. So these are the three types of evidences: al-mutabaqa, which is directed specifically to the that; al-tadamun, which is directed to the meaning that's taken from the name; and talazum, which is dealing with the prerequisites, i.e., if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, then he must be what? Alive, and he must be the only one that deserves to be worship subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that you must understand This regarding all the principles of Allah's names and attributes, Ikhwan, is intricate. Okay. Yalla, who could repeat what I just said? What are the three different, for example, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Khaliq. Yalla. Al-Khaliq. Huh. It's to Allah, Al-Khaliq, the creator, to Allah directly. Naam. Naam. And he has ilm. He's alive and he has knowledge. And he has qudra, ahsant, and hikmah, and mashi'a. You know? So all of these things, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that you must remember this, excuse me, for regarding the whole of Allah's names, that it has these three istidlal, and the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from that. He said, "Idha taqarra hadhan al-aslan." So if we now have established these two principles, what are the two principles? What are the two principles that we have to have established before we go into the proofs of each name leading to the meaning of Tawheed and Surah Al-Fatiha? What are the two principles? The first one is what? Naam, that Allah's name is extrapolated from attributes. And the second one is what? The three categories that we mentioned. Huh? Mutabaqa, Tadammun, and Talazum. And Talazum. So he said, if we establish these two principles, then the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an indication for all of the Yadul. Indicates all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. Yadul ala asma'a kullaha. It indicates all of Allah's perfect names and His attributes with these three proofs. With these three proofs. What proofs are they, akhi? Tadammun, Atalazum, Al-Mutabaqa. So therefore, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. How does the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have dalil of mutabaqa? Huh? It's to Allah's that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a dhammun? Kul asma al-husna. What a lazum? Kul asma al-husna. All of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says all of the names go and follow this name. All of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follow the name of Allah, Allah. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى. And for Allah is the perfect names. For Allah is the perfect names. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, so therefore, all the other names follow the name of Allah, but Allah does not follow the others. So you don't say, Allah is from the names of Ar-Rahman. It's impermissible for you to say, the name Allah is from the names of Ar-Rahman. But rather you say, huh? Ar-Rahman is from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he then goes and mentions, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name Ar-Rahman, the name Ar-Rahman, the name Ar-Rahman comes from the form Al-Fa'lan. The name of Ar-Rahman comes from the form linguistic Al-Fa'lan. And anything that is in that form, it means it is in abundance. It means that it is in what? Abundance. So when we say Ar-Rahman, it means that Allah has the attribute of what? Just Rahmah? Or abundance of Rahmah? Abundance of Rahmah, because it's in the form of a fa'lan. So therefore, when we say Atshan, what does that mean? Extremely Jaw'an, Ta'ban, extremely tired. So the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, indicates what? Abundance of Rahmah. Indicates abundance of Rahmah. And as for the name Ar-Rab, as for the name Ar-Rab, when Ar-Rab, which is the asl is a rububiyyah, When it's in the same sequence as Allah, it means Ar-Rububiyyah. When Rabb is in the same sequence as Allah, it means Ar-Rububiyyah. For example, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It's in the same sequence as the name of Allah. So therefore, Ar-Rabb means Ar-Rububiyyah, the Lordship, Creator of the heavens and the earths, the Provider, and so forth. And Allah means Al-Uluhiyyah. إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ افْتَرَقَ وَإِذَا افْتَرَقَ اجْتَمَعَ. So therefore, when Ar-Rabb is mentioned on its own, it means what? Uluhiyyah and Rububiyyah. So this is shows us in the Qabr, when we're asked Man Rabbuk, the people of Bid'ah will try and say, look, this is Rububiyyah and you're always talking about Uluhiyyah. What do we say to them? When we say, when we're asked Man Rabbuk in the grave, what are we being asked? Who is your Lord, the one that you worshipped alone? Because when Rabb is mentioned on its own, it means Uluhiyyah and Rububiyyah. But when it's mentioned in the same sequence as Uluhiyyah, it means Rububiyyah. Now, Uluhiyyah means worship, and he's singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, servitude. Rububiyyah is Lordship, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the exposer of the affairs, disposer of his affairs, the able, the one with wisdom and that creates the heavens and the earths and so forth. And Uluhiyyah is servitude and deity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserved to be worshipped alone. So when the name Allah is mentioned along with the name Ar-Rabb, Rabb means Rububiyyah, and Uluhiyyah, and the name Allah means what? Uluhiyyah. And when it's mentioned on its own, Rabb means both. So then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, just to move on, he says that these names are mentioned after Alhamd. These names are mentioned after Alhamd. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, the name Ar-Rabb, the name Ar-Rahman, are mentioned after Alhamd because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised because of his Uluhiyyah. He's praised because of his Uluhiyyah, taken from the name Allah. He's praised because of his Rububiyyah, taken from the name Ar-Rabb. He's praised because for his Rahmaniyyah, taken from the name Ar-Rahman. He's praised because of his mercy, abundance in mercy, taken from the name Ar-Rahman. And also he mentioned Ibn Qayyim that he's praised because of his dominion, taken from the name Malik. Naam. So then he said, Rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, is Jamil Aqsamul Kamal. Is Jamil Aqsamul Kamal. So Allah is mentioned, it says, Alhamdulillah, with all of these names, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised with all types of perfection, because of all types of perfection with regards to his names and his attributes. And that is why when we say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned and others, that Al here is Al-Istighraq. This Al is Al-Istighraq, i.e. the encompassing Al, meaning all praise. All praise. All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.